Oh, hey, Peen.
Just call me Mr. Butterfingers.
Ah, the old UHF soundboard. Classic.
Oh, hello there, Spay.
Hello, Peen. How are you?
Good. It's been a while.
It has been a little bit of time. We've all gotten a chance to recharge our batteries and come up with all sorts of great new topics for another award-winning podcast.
All kinds of fresh new material.
Yeah, and now the world is run by Jeff Bezos's drones. So
It is, yeah.
pretty soon we'll all have your weekly plotcast delivered to you by drone, and then flung right up your butt and into your own fleshlight.
I can't wait.
Yeah, even fun for everyone.
Well, we are on our very slow march to episode 100 here. This being episode 98.
98. Wow.
Yeah.
The plotcast flies, as they say.
It really does. So here we are.
That's exciting. We'll have to tease up some more good ideas, since I don't think we brainstormed many since last.
No, and I forgot the ideas we came up with anyways.
Yeah, I've killed so many brain cells in the meantime. I don't know about you, but it's been a very soggy, boozy, addled couple weeks since we last plotcasted, including during our last plotcast, which I haven't listened to because I was so drunk. I don't want to hear any of it.
I agree. I have no idea what we talked about.
No, blacked out. I did over. I guess it was last weekend. I forget which, but I had a nice tweet, and a friend of the podcast, I think maybe still Andrew Juge, replied to that tweet, and I just got the notification in my Gmail, and I looked at it, and I go, "What the fuck is Juge talking about? Did I harass him in a tweet?" And no, I just tweeted while blacked out and didn't remember it, and he just responded to it.
What did you harass him with?
I didn't. It wasn't harassing him. It was just a random tweet where I said, "Did you know that if you time up Tool's undertow with Pulp Fiction at the beginning of Pulp Fiction, the soundtrack syncs up." And then I tweeted like a minute later, "Actually, no, just kidding." And Juice tweeted, "Oh, I got real excited for a minute there." And all I got from Juge was, "Oh, I got real excited for a minute there," and I'm like, "What? Why would he? What's going on?" And then I read the tweets, and I was like, "Well, good job, Spay. Nice work."
Yeah, nice job. You didn't even get blocked for anything.
Now, I didn't get blocked. I don't follow Juge anymore because I don't want to be tempted to write mean comments, since Juge isn't about being mean anymore.
Well, I am following at Andrew Juge now, I think, but
So
we are still blocked. It's still blocked on Saints Nation because I think I had some good zingers in place for
Mr. Breesburg.
Last night's football game.
Oh, you mean when the nation's best fans and the 12th man thoroughly handed it to Breeze?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we're so, and then we'll catch up on all the things we've missed. We have a lot of LA talk to get through too, since I think the most exciting time of the trip of the West Coast Pals podcast meetup happened after our blackout plopcast.
Oh, that's right. We haven't plopcasted since
We
then.
haven't plopcasted since the debacle of scene.
Yes. I guess we can start with that then.
Yeah, we can start with that, and then we can wind our way back to Andrew Juge, because Weigel and I were doing some reminiscing yesterday, because I got to see Dave Vidner for the first time in a while.
Oh, what a pleasure.
Little Penguin Man himself. He's still doing well, I guess, but some time has passed, and he hasn't picked up any of our phone calls because, in his words, all we do is harass him at the same time every Sunday.
Well, it's very true.
It's,
It is
I
very
mean, he
true.
didn't get past law school because he was a dummy. He recognizes what's going on. They don't just hand out Maryland State bar exams. Well, I guess they hand out the exams. They don't hand out the answers.
Right. Yeah. They do hand out the exams to pretty much
Yeah, the
anyone.
exams themselves, you probably have to pay a fee, but otherwise that's your only qualification needed.
Yes.
Right. Okay, yeah, so winding it all the way back up to your favorite metropolis.
Who the fuck said that? Who's the slimy little communist shit-swinkle toad cocksucker down here who just signed his own death war?
That would be Los Angeles, your favorite place in the world.
My favorite place.
That's where a friend of the podcast and provider of Sclusies, Jason Lax, is a resident in one of the beach cities.
Manhattan Beach,
Yeah.
Manhappening, if you ask Jason.
One of the tiny enclaves, rich and affluent, enclaves, not technically part of Los Angeles, but right there on the beach, right there next to all of the Los Angeles Lakers and their billion-dollar homes. And then there's a nice little one-bedroom apartment where Lax Man can chill, enjoy the views. He has a peek of the ocean.
Yes, he gazes over a small sliver of the Pacific.
Yeah, gets to see all the tanker trucks lining up to get into the overcrowded, dilapidated Long Beach docks.
Yes, yes, you do get to watch container ships coming in.
Yeah, are you saying thank you under your breath so that no one can hear to Mr. Spean right now?
Mr. Spean just came in and she just got home from work, but also alerted me to our puppy chewing through the gate.
So Mr. Spean comes home from a long day of work, and there's her husband, attentive as always, ready to fix her a nice refreshing beverage, maybe get her a snack, or talk to his jagoff friend on the East Coast on their podcast that no one listens to, and then talk about how their dogs ruin some of their own property.
Exactly. So that pretty much guarantees that I'll be looking up YouTube videos on how to attach a new plug onto an electrical cable.
Your plug-in Christmas tree has been chewed through the cable.
Yes, yes.
By Maggie? Have you been determined?
By Maggie. Lou sleeps all day. It's not her.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe it's just in comparison and Lucy's always been this lazy, but while I was out there, I did notice it looks like she has lost a step a bit.
A little bit, yeah, you know, and Maggie has not lost a step.
No, Maggie is sucking up all the energy in the room, and Lucy can't really compete, so she just goes into full-blown turd mode, where she just...
Yeah, exactly. You've seen that mode before.
Oh, yes. I'm a big fan of the thin brown, the thick brown log now. She's gotten lazier and a little plumper, and she just likes to lay on the couch and, sigh, maybe release some noxious fumes.
Yeah. She just doesn't want to be bothered.
Yeah. Well, Maggie can be the dog that runs around now and pretends like the world revolves around her. Lucy will just kind of sit back and suck up some treats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that to deal with. So I will be learning some basic electrical stuff.
Yeah, but nothing makes you feel more like a man that can really fix things, a real man about the house, than looking up extremely simple chores that all of our parents figured out how to do on their own, looking up YouTube tutorials.
Yes, exactly.
And then
we'll just hope that I don't start a fire.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that would be less than ideal, but I'm sure having those two dogs around will help.
Yes.
They can alert the neighbors. So we drove up, you, me, and Newsman Ogle, who's out crossfitting, crunching it.
Crossfitting, yep.
Very nice. And we drove up in your electric car, which... kind of runs on.
Nope, we took the Blair's car.
Oh, we took the hybrid. Yeah, I forgot. Well, either way.
Yes, we had to use an archaic internal combustion engine.
Yeah, dead dinosaur fuel. And we drove up to L.A., met up with Lax, and then immediately loaded up his car with a bunch of old beers from the fridge, a magnum of what was it? Not Spumante, but.
Some kind of champagne.
Prosecco.
Prosecco, yes.
A magnum, so a nice double-sized wine bottle of champers. And then headed down to South Central.
Right into South Central.
It was fun driving through some of the lesser frequented neighborhoods of L.A. You know, I didn't want to think everything was like a Judd Apatow movie. It wasn't, you know, just all smiles and sunny grassy lawns and trees. There was some other parts of L.A. to be enjoyed.
Yes.
A little more of the local flavor, if you will.
Local flavor. Yeah, well, I mean, we parked on campus, though, so it's not like we parked in the middle of the barrio.
No, we drove through a little bit of the barrio.
Yes.
A few cholos. And then used the, fraudulently obtained handicap parking decal.
What, Jason doesn't look like someone who needs a handicap placard?
No, Jason looks like... He's fitter than 90% of obese America. but yeah, I guess however you got it, you know, you wouldn't want to give it up. But I feel a little tacky walking out of a handicap spot with there was five physically fit 20 and 30-somethings.
Yeah, I felt pretty bad about it at first, but it was pretty convenient.
Well, yeah, and then I looked at how far we would have had to walk otherwise, and I got over it. I also like the fact that when we parked, as soon as we got out of the car, and, you know, Lax was talking about Manhattan Beach and the, you know, L.A. in general is just full of just really good-looking women that come from all over the place. And as soon as we walk out and you look right on the sidewalk, just walking around like it's cool, wearing like a kind of a regular top, but, you know, long, you know, very primped hair and, you know, the UGG boots or whatever, and then no pants. And instead of a pair of shorts, what amounted to a thong bikini made out of denim.
Yes, yeah. It was a welcome sight. It's certainly impressive to her, probably, that we exited a nice handicapped vehicle.
Yes, look, hey, check out the disabled folk here to hit on the 21-year-old, you know, playmate with half her butt cheeks hanging out of her shorts.
Yeah. So I don't know if that is – I haven't been on a college campus in a while. I mean, WNL certainly wouldn't have that, but – University of Maryland, was that a common sight?
No, the University of Maryland was a lot of the black stretch pants and Uggs. That was, and then sweatshirts.
Okay, yeah.
Which I think is pretty much de rigueur if you go on most college campuses. Like when I got to have the nice, a nice sensible salad at whatever the place was at the student center.
Yep.
Right next to the Chick-fil-A that always had a mile-long line. Yeah, just black stretch pants, Uggs, and sweatshirts. Various kinds of sweatshirts. Various logos of other colleges, sometimes Maryland, sometimes fraternity letters, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess it's a USC thing, but, I mean...
Yeah, but then at USC, there was a lot of, you know, people dressing up as the cheer babes or cheer, whatever they're called, the song...
song girls, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, cleavages everywhere, I like just how it raises the bar for everyone. Like, you can't just be like, oh, there's a really attractive woman and she's wearing just jeans, you know? Or like, oh, that's a tight sweater, that's good. It's like everyone has to slut it up, like a couple factors above normal slut level.
Right. Instead, at WNL, everyone just tried to class it up.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, nothing like that.
Nice sundress. You'd be like, oh, I can see your knees are exposed. That's supposed to be a nice little treat. Well, we have to wear ties and pastels.
Right. Someone would be like, that sundress is too slutty. So then they would put on a cardigan sweater.
Yeah, and then more sweaters, lots of layers, or just a giant scarf that's more like an Afghan.
Exactly.
For the girls at USC, it was almost like,
It was a race to the bottom.
Right.
It's like, which is what I enjoy.
Yeah, kind of like LA in general. It's like,
exactly.
You can't just do cleavage anymore. You can't just do side boob or under boob. You just got to do... You know, basically pasties is all they can really do.
Exactly, yeah. It makes me really happy that I'm having a daughter.
Oh, yeah. And then she'll be able to be released out. But San Diego, she can be a nice, conservative, stuffed-up suburban San Diego.
Yeah, till she goes to college.
She could be like...
I mean, I could just send her to WNL, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what, it worked out well for your sister, right? Jenny King?
It really worked out well.
She lived it up a little bit in L.A.,
Yeah, in Hollywood.
In the hills. So, but that was fun. And then we got...
So we immediately got out, saw that. And then also, the just openly on the street taking beer bongs. And there's no shame. There's no fear of being arrested.
Yeah, it was like... it reminded me a little bit of walking up to... like in Baltimore, going to the Inner Harbor for like a Orioles game.
Uh-huh.
Except... you know, it was Baltimore, so you expect it to be shitty, and it was not nearly the level, like, that was just kind of like walking around with, you know, with beer cans in your hand, and not, hey, that guy's, like, kneeling down to beer bong, like, a giant, you know, a 40, just chugging 40s right. Left and right. And this was out, instead of, like, a campus, it was just, you know, USC and USC-related buildings, or, you know, like, fraternity houses, or just places where kids live just took up, like, the 8 large city blocks right next to campus.
Yeah.
So they were physically parts of the city of L.A., but it was everybody in USC gear and everybody intoxicated on their way to get intoxicated or chugging out of a funnel.
Exactly. So we were there. Now, in my head, I was like, oh, it's just frat row, you know, it's fine. So then we walk a few blocks onto campus, where that is where the tailgating is held. not in the parking lot of the Coliseum or in a field somewhere, but literally on the main drag of campus. Like for us, if on the colonnade,
yeah,
everyone set up beer pong tables, barbecues.
Yeah, like a no holds bar.
Tents.
Everybody, like when we were at WNL for that homecoming, they gave up. They literally penned up the tailgating. They put up a mesh fence, like on a field about, you know, one football field away from the actual football field, penned right. everybody in, and then allowed you to set up tables where you could drink with the gaze of security.
Yeah. Certainly no beer pong going on.
Yeah, not just, hey, here's some cans of beer. What are we going to do with them? And then let's put this this grill right up wherever we want. And then just tents of all people with a full bar. Like they wheeled in a bar.
Yeah, they just wheeled in a wagon. Anyone could have wheeled in a wagon of stuff.
Yeah, like you could just walk around with one of those wheel coolers. And it could be nitroglycerin in there. Nobody knows. You're just, you know, just tossing around beverages.
Yeah, that reminds me. When we were walking up to campus, you know, we packed some beers. Jason cracked one as soon as we got out and just walked on the sidewalk with the can.
Yeah.
I think you, me, and Ogle. Oh, Jason was like, "Yeah, just pop it open." But I think you, me, and Ogle just kept it in our pocket.
Yeah.
Because we're so programmed to be scared of the police all the time.
What could happen to you when you?
Yeah, like FW could be right around that corner, and we're gonna get a drinking in public.
Yeah, and also the idea, I mean, to me, a lot of it was, I'm in foreign territory. I mean, I know it's still, you know, it's the U.S. and L.A., it's not that foreign, but, the last thing I wanted was to deal with, like, some sort of ticket on the other side of the continent.
Right, yeah.
But to nab us for drinking a can of beer, like adults, like 32-year-olds, while there are, you know, probably 17-year-olds... taking a Mad Dog and just chugging it down.
Exactly.
For them to target us means it's like saying, oh, I don't want to go 5 miles over the speed limit when there's people racing in stock cars at 200 miles an hour next to you.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, Adam Carolla talks about it, like when he went to New Orleans and he's been so programmed to be scared of the police all the time.
Right.
Just always be scared as a citizen. And then he gets to New Orleans and there's all this freedom. It's hard to adjust.
Yeah, it really is. And if, like, you see a cop and they'll be like, how you doing? Are you safe? Everything good? And you're like, you're here to help and not just to write some bullshit ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not just fundraising.
Well, and we talked about it. I mean, like, when I went to the Chargers game and Pierce met up with us, Tard Cart, and got a $300 ticket for having a glass bottle in the parking lot of Qualcomm Stadium.
Yeah.
That's the kind of fear that's usually instilled in us.
Right.
So it was weird being at USC where, you know, it's a beautiful campus. It certainly can't be in good shape after the tailgate. But no one cares. There's no one to enforce. There's not even school security. I didn't see school security roaming, enforcing, intimidating. It was just a free-for-all. It was fantastic.
Even when we got to the Coliseum, which is enormous, it's like physically one of the largest bowls in America.
Yes, 96,000.
Yeah, and that's without the full seating, right? Doesn't it seat like 120?
I think so, if they want to.
And even then, like the ratio of security to people, and just on the inside and outside, like people started running into that museum across the street and just overloading their bathrooms.
Exactly, yeah.
They're like, I'm going to test it out. It's like, no, that'd be like we're running into the Air and Space Museum, like at the mall in D.C. and just trying to use their bathroom. And it just, there was like live people streaming into it. Just, they might as well have been pissing all over that museum.
Yeah, I've just never seen anything like it. I assume that's Maryland was not like that.
Maryland had a tailgate what you'd expected. I mean, you know, they probably had, you know, a third as many people total. The parking lots were filled with people drinking, but it was just the parking lots. You didn't have, you know, like some of this.
I mean, is there like police roaming that parking lot?
It's actually pretty tame as far as police goes. They wait until the fans riot, and then they run them down with horseback police.
Right. Yeah. But that's only for basketball.
Yeah. For the regular student riots, they have like a system that's set up. And but for most of the football games, it doesn't get big enough. I mean, maybe if Maryland was better. One time, Clemson came to the field when we had a business school tailgate, and yeah. The Clemson fans were pretty impressive with just the quantity and the size and how they did their tailgating. But Maryland, like, what the USC thing was, it was like you're on the middle of campus, there's all the architecture and historic buildings, and there's just row after row of really legit tailgating that's been going on for hours.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop until you, and then you get to the parking lot of the Coliseum. It's all like connected, and it's just a never-ending row of barbecue and cheap beer and nice beer and liquor shots.
Yeah. And inevitably puke, piss.
Yeah, some random stuff. Well, we ran into Jason's friends, and then at some point we started like heading in the same direction. But they would all like stop and get like held up by other people they know, or just
right.
other little groups, and kind of like peel off. And it was a mass, you know, it's like Disney World, but packed, you know, just as packed. And I'm trying to keep up with you guys, and then you start having a conversation with one of Jason's friends, and then you're separated because he stops, and it's like, well, I just ditch you in the middle of a sentence because you stopped, and they kept walking, and then one of Jason's friends kept making fun of me because he's like, oh, okay, DC, everything's got to be on schedule. All right, Washington, yeah, just calm down, pal. This isn't Congress. So that was a fun stereotype, especially for me.
It was a good one, I thought.
So much I love politics. And then we got to like Jason's official tailgate that he pays for as part of his Beach Cities Alumni Club.
Right, yeah. So it's for basically wealthy alumni, since the Beach Cities are basically all incredibly wealthy.
Yeah. It'd be like Manhattan.
But, you know, it's a fenced off thing. It's got a fully catered meal.
Mm-hmm.
Open bar.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
An open bar that doesn't go...
One porta-potty.
One porta-potty. And the open bar that doesn't go like, well, I can't give you shots, but I can give you a single, you know, no rocks drink in a regular glass. Like, oh, no, how many shots do you want? Pouring shots.
Six fireball shots coming right up.
Not somebody, like, checking all your badges, like, making sure you got the X's on your hand. Like, there's one guy at the gate keeping you from going in and out. And then it's just free-for-all.
Yeah.
And then Jason's girlfriend was perhaps not as used to or not prepared for an all-day binge drinking session. Since
usually you don't start off an all-day thing with a Magnum. Maybe you just settle for a regular bottle.
Yeah, you can just do a single however many ounces that is, 8, 20 ounce, whatever. You don't need 4 liters of Prosecco.
Yeah. Maybe do that at the end of the day, not at the first thing in the morning.
Right. And then don't encourage everyone to do fireball shots.
Yeah. Well, I made the mistake of telling her that I'd never had a fireball shot.
Really? Is that even true, or were you just kind of egging?
No, yeah, that's true. I never really followed when the whole fireball thing happened.
It was only like a year or two ago, and then it just became, you know, Jägermeister, but more popular.
And I mean, it tastes fine. I don't really get it. Like, what's the difference between that and cinnamon schnapps has been around for a long time. Bums love cinnamon schnapps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice, good, nice bum drink. You know, Goldschlager is very similar. They must have just hit, like, the price point and the marketing point. And, you know, I guess those hard liquor companies, it's tough to, you know, because all people want to do when they get to a bar is, like, give me some cheap shots and everyone will get, you know, 2 or 3 drinks in them. And we can go, but you can't market your drink like that. You have to be like, have a classy drink. I'm P. Diddy, and I'm going to have a good time with my expensive vodka.
You know? Right.
Whereas that just kind of caught on, where it's like, hey, everyone, this is like 25% alcohol, tastes like fucking nothing, like bubble gum. And then you're done, and it's not, you know, it's not $100 a shot. So I think he just found that, like, you know, sweet spot of what people actually want when they go to a bar.
I guess. It's huge, though. Everyone was doing fireball shots. Even at weddings, they don't give you shots like that at an open bar.
No, that's what I mean. The bartender was just like, yeah, shots. Of course I can give you shots. I have little plastic shot glasses to give them in, and I... this is a normal
order. Well, and then usually at halftime, they're like, all right, well, we're going to close on the bar because, you know, the assumption for a tailgate is everyone's gone in.
Right, it's not supposed to go on.
This guy's like, hey, we're out of a fireball, but I can probably cobble some stuff together for you here. Like, they're actually trying to help us drink more.
Yeah.
Which is the total opposite of what you usually find at these things.
They never took that, tips class on risk management?
No, they certainly are not tips trained.
Yeah, that was, well, and also they had, like, the portable flat screen set up inside there, and the food stayed out the whole time, so there's really no reason to go, even though it was within the shadow of the walls of the Coliseum, and you could hear the stand, hear the crowd roar. Wasn't much of an incentive to actually go into the Coliseum.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, I did not. I did not go into the cult.
You didn't go at all. And then the whole time while we were getting there, you were all nervous because we had there was five of us, and Jason only had four free tickets into the game.
Right. And actually, because we never met up with Bob Lax, we only had two tickets.
Right. You didn't even have the full allotment. And you kept telling me to buy tickets from all the scalpers.
Yeah, from the scalpers.
And then I told you I would use my management skills and my negotiating skills and supply and demand and only negotiate for a ticket when demand had plummeted after the start of the game, because I don't give a shit if I ever went in. So I was going to hold out, and the one or two people that I did talk to hours before the game were trying to hold on to their price. So you got, like, some old dude, I paid 60, I'd like to get 60. And I was like, I'm not willing to spend more than 20 bucks. And he goes, you won't find it. I go, well, guess what? I don't give a shit. And then I got in for free because Ogle and I, at the end, after, well, this was also after all the fireball shots had taken the future of Mrs. Lax out of commission for good.
Out of commission, yeah. To the point where you were at Pickens' wedding, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
She was basically Elizabeth Jooch at Pickens' wedding.
Yeah, but less shouting.
Yes, much less shouting. Very quiet, a lot of sleeping.
Yeah, well, at first it was kind of the hysterical, like, something is wrong. It was probably because Lex wanted to go smoke a cigar and ignore something. I forget.
Yeah.
And so that turned into, like, a drunken, nothing's okay, it'll never be okay. To, okay, just sit down and shut up and to, all right, well, she's out.
Yeah.
put a sweatshirt on her and let her sit there. And then Ogle and I got to go in and see, like, we watched at least a quarter of that game. It was a bit major upset by USC at the time. They were reeling from having just fired Lane Kiffin and Stanford.
You really should have stayed because you had a chance to rush the field.
The tickets themselves were about five rows from the tippy top. So there's a lot of ground to cover before we saw that.
Yeah, a lot of steps between you and the field.
By the time we quote-unquote rushed the field, which would have been more of a orderly stumble and shuffle onto the field, I don't feel like I would have gotten all that much out of just standing on the field.
Yeah.
Elbow to elbow, yeah, with a bunch of screaming USC fans when I really didn't care all that much.
True.
Plus,
and at the time, you had no knowledge that there was no more booze at the tailgate.
So. Oh yeah, I think that was okay for everybody though, because we had a big time power dinner at the Palm.
That's true. Yes, which some of us were trying to stay conscious for.
Some of us were able to stay conscious because we had not yet already lost conscious.
Right.
Consciousness. And there was some other. I mean, Lax's girlfriend was not the only one that decided to say goodnight early.
No, there were two lucky gentlemen next to us,
yeah,
that had quite a bit of fun during the day. Jason's girlfriend was nice enough to just pass out in a chair.
Right.
That's fine. The two gentlemen next to us, well, one was in a chair, I think. The other one just collapsed on the ground and used a folded-up folding chair as a pillow.
That's so great. First he was underneath a table, you know, those like cocktail tables they had set up, so like underneath the curtains. They only saw the half of them sticking out.
Right.
Then the helpful staff, who, you know, I thought like some cop was going to come over, you know, write him a ticket or do something. It was just like, oh, is he with you or something? Because we like pointed at him and then we're like, oh, no, he's not with us. And then the cop was like, all right, good, you'll take care of him.
Well, and security came by. Yeah. We had a bunch of people come by and check on him. They kick him a little, and they're like, yeah, he's alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they walk away.
Do I need to call the paramedics? Okay, good. Not my problem. And then finally, the staff was just, like, the caterers were just cleaning up, and they had to, like, take off the curtain or the cover and remove the table. And then he was just laying there with a folded-up chair, like a little pillow. Like, so he's right. That is a...
Yeah.
As a way to comfort himself as he slept.
He was out before halftime, I think, right?
He was probably one of the first guys to go down.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of a family affair. I mean, there was barbecue, there was the rich, lots of trophy moms with some work being done or having been done.
Quite a few.
Yeah. A lot of, you know, spray tans and dyed hair. You know, probably 45, 50, but really trying to hold on to that, you know, mid-30s look. Which, you know, they did a pretty good job. I think they looked pretty good for, you know, having little toddlers running around.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, there's a lot of eye candy.
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
The MILF Hunter would be, it was a target-rich environment for him.
He would do just fine there. And then there's the old dudes with the paunches wearing the collared tees.
Yeah, or the Hawaiian shirts.
Well, yeah, Tommy Bahama or the golf windbreakers was popular.
Yeah.
And just kind of chilling, being like, yeah, this is what I do, whatever. But then, you know, we were basically carrying Jason's girlfriend at that point.
Yes. Yeah, game over, celebrating, USC beat Stanford. We got to find a cab at that point, and it's a nightmare because, you know, 100,000 people are letting out of the Coliseum.
It's probably closer to 150,000 when you consider all the tailgating was finally broken up. And
that's true, yeah.
The tailgaters could have doubled the number of people. I mean, it was just so much, just a mass.
Yeah, and I would think a lot of students maybe just tailgate and don't go in the game. So, yeah, I think counting all that stuff, quite a few people.
Yeah, hordes. Hordes of total drunk people.
So, we have our own. You know, we're carrying her. It's like she was wounded on the battlefield. And we're, you know, we're trying to get her to the medic.
Kind of. And instead of a wound, like, bleeding all over the place, she just drooled everywhere. Drooled all over my leg.
Yeah, got in a cab, piled in five people into four seats.
Yeah, cab driver did not want to drive us. He was doing everything.
Not at all.
So, except locking the door, which was his fatal mistake. It wasn't like the one of him was going to get all of us out. He could either abandon his cab, which I thought might have been a possibility. It wasn't a very nice cab. Or take us where we wanted to go. Which, I don't understand cabs that don't do that, because it's like, you can't pick and choose. Well, I guess maybe they thought they could pick and choose, but it happens all the time. Like, you get in, they're like, no, I'm not going there. And you're like, but what would be an acceptable place? It wasn't that far. It would be a nice fare for him.
Right.
Just a note. But yeah, then when we finally all piled in, I got Jason's girlfriend to drool all over my leg. Like, it like seeped through my pants. And just like, I could feel the cold saliva just slobbing all over my ankle. Ugh.
And it was a pretty long cab ride, too, to downtown.
A lot of traffic.
20, 25 minutes, maybe?
A lot of stop and go.
Yeah.
The L.A. traffic, I think I mentioned it before, but it is not to be underestimated. It is as bad and as oppressive and insane as it is billed.
It is putrid.
It's, you know, it made me appreciate D.C. traffic coming back. I didn't think that was possible, but it gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get to the Palm, you know, obviously very nice restaurant, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jason's girlfriend retired to the bathroom immediately. She was in there for 20 minutes or so while the rest of us either stood awkwardly, sat with the family. Jason's mom is asking where Jason is.
Yeah, we should explain that this was the plan from the beginning. This was show up, we're going to tailgate, Jason's got this nice like alumni club. And then Jason's dad loves going to the Palm, and he loves setting up these big, like kind of like family dinners, but family and friends, and it's cool. And like people just randomly show up. It's awesome. Everyone has a great time. And it's all on Mr.
That the dinner was what we were really up. The game was fine, but the dinner was really what we were after.
You're like, we'll go to this game, and then Bob Lax will host this dinner, and it'll be awesome. And at no point were we like, oh, we'll just get completely blackout, out of control drunk, and then just totally just fuck up this dinner, because who cares? It was like, okay, we just need to maintain and make it to the dinner, and then we can drink wine until we burst and eat crab and shellfish and steaks and just have surf and turf and then turf again and then a little extra surf.
Yeah.
And instead, we hold up our end of the bargain, but Jason's girlfriend is just a might as well be a rug at that point.
Right. I was amazed that she was still standing at that point. So Jason is able to get her to show up to the table. Sits her down, and then...
It's such a farce. Everybody else knew what was going on. It's like, all right, this is... You guys are pathetic.
Right. They met her before, too. I mean, she's a habitual heavy drinker. I mean, she's 23. She's in the going out mode.
Literally.
You know, habitual heavy drinker.
In dental school.
Yeah. Paid for by our tax dollars.
Well, good. We need more young, attractive dentists.
Yes.
Yeah, and then just kind of sitting like a zombie for not very long, I don't think.
Right. Mrs. Lax is, you don't look too well.
Oh, yeah, that was the best thing, is Jason's mom the whole time trying to come up with all the different physical ailments that it could be, besides just, no, she was literally passed out drunk, like, right.
Right, right. Like, it could be the flu, Spay. We don't know. We're not doctors.
Oh, I could tell she was shivering. There was something else. She must have reacted poorly to something. Fuck.
Yeah. And Jason's like, all right, fine, I'll just stick her in a cab and send her home. And Jason's mom, of course, wanted Jason to be a young gentleman and accompany her home.
Make sure nothing happened to her.
Yes, yes. Make sure that the flu doesn't spread to anyone.
So, well, he did take her home and then, like, basically cab back as well, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like, got her all the way home in a bed and then came back while we were trying to keep up with the many successful doctors and real estate developers and friends of the family.
Yeah. So left us there, where you and Ogle certainly don't know anyone there.
Nobody.
I mean, I talked to Jason's mom, but Jason's dad, of course, doesn't know my name. He knows who I am, but he certainly doesn't care enough to know to learn my name, even though he drove me home from school for an entire year.
He's not going to be like, so, how's San Diego, or any other fact of your life which I don't know about, so.
Exactly, yeah. He's like, hey, rock star, good to see you.
We should also explain that Jason's dad, although living the good life and large and in charge, does not cut an imposing figure when seen.
No, he wears a Hawaiian shirt, and he has a ridiculous beard.
A very large.
He's not tall. He's not a big guy.
No.
He just wears Crocs and a Hawaiian shirt.
He's like that guy, the most interesting man in the world from those commercials, except when you see him in real life. And he's just some, like, rich Long Island guy from the Hamptons that has a beard and wears Crocs and doesn't give shit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but the L.A. Hippier version.
Exactly. That's who he is. So there are doctors there. There are people there. You know, we're sitting awkwardly. You know, it's a fantastic dinner. We sit down and there's a pile of pulled crab already.
Yeah.
Weigel would have been in heaven with that seafood platter.
His
beak would have been all in that.
Oh, he would have had to, like, pop, like, 70 Lorix right before.
But just there's, like, a mountain of crab and Dungeness crab. What else was there? Shrimp, gigantic prawns or shrimp or whatever.
Yeah, and it's why the word gluttony was invented. It's for stuff.
Yeah, and that was there before we were seated. Like, they had it ready for us.
And wine at the table. And
yeah, wine at the table.
Like, pour
all the wine we could drink.
Mm-hmm. I tried to make conversation with his brother, who's like a super quant nerd, like who's into finance. I was like, oh, I went to business school. I'll talk with you. So, what are you raising money for funds? And he just looked at me like I was an idiot. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I forget what I tried to say, but I tried to, like, drop some lingo on him, and he's just like, you're fucking retarded, drunk idiot. Stop trying to talk to me.
Yeah, Brian, who graduated high school 2 years early and aced the SAT and got a full ride to USC.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, no NBD.
Just talking shop with one of the other big brains at the table.
Yeah, and then you were being social with that other dude sitting next to you that I never talked to and don't know who he is.
Yeah, I don't remember much of that conversation because I didn't.
Spain's always social with dudes.
Oh, our newsman just walked in.
Oh, the He-Man is back from his group.
Yeah.
How are the lats, bro?
He doesn't have headphones on.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, so, you know, we had a pleasant dinner. Ate too much food, then took a nice cab ride home.
Yeah, do want to do a shout out to a friend of the podcast and one of our ones of listeners, Chappie, for Bob Lax was going to be the guy that hooked it up, but the manager of the Palm was an old colleague and friend of Chappie's.
Yes, yes.
He put in a good word for us, and apparently since we were late getting there, Chappie's friend Alex kept asking all the people that came in that day if they knew about Shapiro. And at the end of the dinner, when the table broke and then Alex finally came around again and all got put together, I think Jason's mom and maybe someone else was like, oh, you're the guy that knows Mike Shapiro. And I was like,
yeah.
Almost like they were accusing me of doing something. Like, oh, no. We were just trying to, you know, connect all the dots. And I had a nice chat with Alex. He knew Mike from back in the days in New York before Mike went out to L. No, after Mike. I forget the timeline. Anyway, cool dude. Good seeing the.
They worked in New York together, I think.
Yeah, I know they worked in New York. I'm trying to remember if Mike was out in L.A. and met him there, and then they moved to New York or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it got us nothing other than a handshake and a business card, but it was still very exciting to see that Mike Shapiro was popular on both coasts.
Yeah, and we got to spread the name around and got to let everybody know, that's right, we know people.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that favorite listener Mike Shapiro we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. You mean only listener Mike Shapiro.
The man with connections.
That's the term favorite, but...
Yeah, so then we went home and had a nice mediocre brunch afterwards the next day. Actually, we all woke up at 7 and just sat and farted in Jason's apartment till about 9:30 when Jason showed up.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you wake up and you think, like, how did I get away with that? Or, like, something must not be right because there's no way that went off without a hitch. But I woke up in his bed. Somehow you guys gave me his bed with my track record.
It was not my bed. What did I care?
I guess.
Or maybe because since Jason doesn't listen to this, maybe we gave you the bed because of your track record.
So you wouldn't have to, like, sit in a couch covered in urine?
No, so that...
Yeah, so that you'd leave a nice surprise for Jason.
Well, luckily it all worked out. He's got a nice bed. And then, I remember walking out and just being like, what the fuck? And then we just kind of sat there, watched SportsCenter, the early morning SportsCenter, and gassed it up.
Yeah, really gassed it up.
That was a real experience.
So, yeah, I'd say it was a
man with your rifle. You will give your rifle a girl's name. Because this is the only pussy you people are going to get.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was like.
Yeah, good one, Spay. Yeah, so it was a successful trip.
Yeah, we got up, farted it up, and then... and then you drove me to LAX. Right past...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, right past the power plant with the two boobs as reactors.
Exactly. So, now that that all happened, was the trip worth it? A successful meetup out here?
Yeah, I mean, I had a speaking engagement for business.
Of course.
In West Hollywood, NBD. So I was going to be out there on the left coast no matter what. So it's good always when when you're out there and you can meet up with pals in their laid back surfer community, and they even though you're in business casual attire, they still welcome you as one of their own.
Exactly.
It's good. Ate a few West Coast burritos. Got to enjoy a college, big time college football game, homecoming, where that was also where NFL or College Game Day had their. Their big event.
Yep.
Yes. And then made it all the way home. The plane ride home was pretty miserable. I was on a window seat next to a large dude, and then for some reason on the aisle was a 90-year-old woman who slept the whole time. So I felt really bad about trying to wake her up to use the bathroom. So I just held her the whole time.
Sounds fun. Fun time.
Yeah. A great time for everyone. And then made it home, and then tried to go back to work on Monday and wanted to saw my head off. It's pretty terrible.
Well, so, that takes us up to what, today? This week?
Yeah, then we had to go through Thanksgiving. I think we might have had a full week and then a shortened week after that, right?
Yes, yeah.
So we had a full week.
I don't recall anything from the first week. And Thanksgiving was pretty uneventful as well, so I don't know if I have much material out of that.
Yeah, my Thanksgiving was pretty low-key. I mean, did you just stay in San Diego? Did you see any family?
No, I flew to North Carolina on Tuesday night, flew the red-eye, and then flew home on Friday morning.
Oh, just was Blair doing the tour of East Coast relatives before...
Exactly, yeah. Get that out of the way. So now Christmas, I can just sit here.
Just sit and play Animal Crossing on Nintendo DS.
Yeah, just sit in front of our Christmas tree that's now unlit, thanks to Maggie.
Thanks to your unruly dogs who lack discipline.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just went up to Maryland where my brother and his two kids are, and that was always fun. He has a stepmother-in-law who, I don't want to be too mean, but I also don't want to undersell the level of stupidity that she operates on a daily basis. And then the topic of Bitcoin's come up because me and my brother like to, go off into our nerdy tangents and whatnot. And trying to explain that to someone who doesn't really understand how money works, just to begin with, quite an adventure.
Yeah.
But
that reminds me, I still have Bitcoins. Bitcoins went over $1,000, didn't they?
Yeah, you should sell while you have a chance, because sooner or later someone else is just going to write another program that does the exact same thing Bitcoins does.
Yeah.
There's really no barriers to entry.
Huh, yeah. Gotta remember how to access my Bitcoins.
Don't be like that guy that like mined Bitcoins when they were like a new thing that no one had heard of, and then put them in a hard drive that he put on a shelf for 2 years, and then...
Oh, yeah. Then realize he had like $1 million.
And then threw it out when he's got 8 million... Except he's British, so he had 8 million pounds worth of Bitcoins. Yeah, but I mean, but otherwise it was uneventful. It's not like I had any reason to be mean to her. I just remember that sticking out and going like, wow, this is a chore. I don't know where to go here in this time. I don't know how to get out.
Yeah, and then the rest of the time you just sat around the house, right?
Mostly I saw some movies. I saw, I think I went to the draft house by myself to watch a movie.
Oh, what'd you see?
Oh, I saw World's End.
World's End? Oh, how was that?
It was really good.
That's the Simon Pegg movie?
Yeah,
Yes, I recently acquired that for evaluation.
Oh, good. It's always good to evaluate quality Hollywood flicks.
Yes.
You know, it's better than, like, most of the standard fare that you're going to get in that, I think the filmography or whatever, like, it was shot really cool. Like, he does all the cool little, like, jokey camera bits, you know, without... you know, making it too slapsticky.
Yeah.
The Simon Pegg character was really cool. He was this, like, he was this badass in high school, and he was in some small town in England, and then he got old and pathetic, and now he's trying to relive old glory and, like, have all this nostalgia, except, you know, everyone else has, like, gotten a life and now he's just pathetic. And they did that really well for the first half, and then they do that thing, you know, like, when the zombies show up in the Shaun of the Dead, or when, like, all the murders start happening in the Hot Fuzz. And then I think they over-explained it. I think the other two, this one I think was the most polished and the best, maybe the funniest, at least for the first half of the three movies. But the other two just kind of let it be like a weird, they didn't try to explain everything, I guess, because this was a sci-fi spoof. In the second half that they had to like tell you exactly where these robots and aliens and stuff were coming from.
Yeah.
When I was like, you're a little too on the nose with your metaphor. Kind of just, she just let it be like, oh, robots are showing up and they represent, like, you know, becoming the man and joining society, and that's what you're actually fighting. I mean, that was, like, pretty obvious from the beginning of it that they didn't need to then, like, I don't know. I was also getting drunk by the end of the movie, so I didn't pay too much attention, but they started going in about, like, the ins and outs of why they were invading and all this other. It's like, who gives a shit? Just let them, you know, Deus Ex Machina them out of there, and then everyone has a happy ending. That's what I was thinking. But who knows? I was drinking that Star Hill, but except they didn't have the regular Star Hill, so I just got the other kind of Star Hill, which I think was like a double box. So one picture of that, and I was stumbling over. But that, it's a good time to hang out by yourself and enjoy a movie and binge.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah, that was my that was my meantime. And then I'm trying to think, I also watched some movies on trying to watch Skyfall.
Skyfall's pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't love Skyfall.
I mean...
I enjoyed it. It took me, two sittings to finish it. But...
Yeah, I think I broke my viewings up with, you know, falling asleep or whatever. But
yeah, sleep in a couple of days. Yeah.
Sleep a couple of days, a couple of whatnot. It was entertaining.
I saw plenty of movies also, actually. We saw Ogle Accompanied. We saw Captain Phillips.
That was very good.
Wait, did you evaluate? This is in the theater, or did you...
In the theater, yeah. We paid.
Why didn't you just counterfeit a ticket, and so you could evaluate it in the movie theater?
Well, we could have, actually. I thought about it. We did not need tickets, by the way, to get into this movie theater. So we got there early, because it was one of those theaters where you, you know, they don't have assigned seatings. So you have to fight for your seat. So we got there early.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Theaters are all assigned seats now?
The high-end movie theater that we go to here is...
Yes, our luxury theater.
Out of California.
Cinepolis. And so we got there really early. They were just clearing out the theater, you know, cleaning out the theater from the previous showing of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we got back there. We walked right in. Nobody ever checked our tickets.
Yeah.
So we're just going to...
Don't you feel stupid now?
I really do. I should have just sat at home and evaluated.
Yeah. So Captain Phillips, that's what Tom Hanks plays, the guy that gets kidnapped by modern day pirates.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips.
Sweet, I just made $103 off my Bitcoin. What an investment I made. I bought it for 13.
You're off of your 0.09 Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Hey, every little piece is important. And now that transaction has been recorded and secured by someone who is currently mining Bitcoins and has a whole bunch of supercomputers linked together in some weird, nerdy network.
Exactly.
Way to go, nerds.
Yep. Good job.
Oh, you still have 12 cents?
Yeah, 12 cents worth of Bitcoin.
Well, why don't you buy some gold?
You still have 0.0012 Bitcoin.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I'll keep that for a rainy day. Because it's going to keep appreciating to $1 million for Bitcoin.
Good thinking.
Yeah. It'll never
fake money that's just created on a computer.
Never dropping.
That can also be stolen out of people's Bitcoin wallets, and there's no recourse and no records of anything.
No. In fact, letting people know you have a lot of Bitcoins is just asking to be killed, or having someone take a knife and be like, transfer those Bitcoins to me.
Exactly.
And then. Then they punch him a bunch of times, and they give him a blanket party with soap wrapped up in blankets, and they go, "It was all a bad dream, fat boy." That was from Full Metal Jacket. That was a callback.
What else? Oh, I did see Hunger Games 2 as well.
Oh, the Hunger Games.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
How did Catnip's Petra look?
It was good. I didn't see the first one, so, it was fine.
Yeah. I heard they were entertaining. I think they're on... the first one I think is on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I think it's on the Netflix.
Yeah, oh, I got Netflix so I could watch. Where did I get it so I could watch? It was for the plane ride. I don't remember watching much on it. I don't know.
But good story, Spay.
Yeah. I tried watching. I know what I tried watching. Some British show that they said was really funny.
Ugh, awful.
But it wasn't that bad. It was called Black's Books, and it has a laugh track. But it was only so-so.
It sounds abysmal, Spay.
I mean, it gets worse. It's certainly better than Modern Family.
I doubt it.
only total losers get worked up about Modern Family.
I know, it's true.
Oh, look, the Colombian lady with the big tits talks in her stupid accent and says something dumb again. Good show. Real good show. Hey, Keith.
Good show.
Stop fiddling around with your Bitcoin, please.
What other topics do we have? That brings us up to today, right?
Yeah, well, two days ago, actually, watch the New York Giants take it to the pathetic Washington Redskins. Redskins fans have not been as defeated as they have been recently. So it's a great time to be in D.C. and like football.
That's too bad.
No, it's great.
But you watched it. You watched it from the luxurious Sands Capital box, yes?
Yes, there's a place. Have you been there, Keen?
What, to FedEx Field?
No, to Trentman's company box.
No, why would I go to a Redskins game?
Because Trentman's box gives you free food and booze.
I don't think he had the box back then, did he? Because he used to just go off his season tickets.
Yeah, but he's had access to the box since he started working there, basically.
Box.
Yeah, we made lots of those jokes.
No, I never went.
I've
experienced a box before. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the be-all, end-all, but it's pretty nice.
Ogle treated his parents to a visit to a luxury box for a Padres game.
Yeah, we almost saw a fight break out in front of us.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean in the seats with all the plebeians?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, in the regular people seats.
Yeah, regular compared to other regular people, but lower class people compared to the people in the box.
Of course, yes. Yeah. The luxury box people are, of course, in another class.
A higher realm. They have way more people doting on them and opening doors for them, telling them to have a nice day and thank you for coming.
Exactly.
Well, the people in the lower box just have the creepy old dude maybe wipes down the seat for you.
Ugh, those savages.
If you want a drink order, as opposed to having someone come around and take it for you, you have some sweaty young person screaming at you to buy their beer. You know how much a fucking beer costs at FedEx Field now?
$13.
No, less.
I was going to guess $11. But...
$9.50, but that's for 12 ounces of beer.
Oh, 12 ounces?
I thought it was at least a 16.
Well, no, that's how. That's the other way they get you now. Not only do they increase prices, but they decrease the portion.
And that's for, like, Girls Light or Bud Light or something?
It was
like, or did Craft Beer Andy make an appearance?
It was like an import, but not like a fancy import.
Oh, like Heineken,
like an Amstel or something.
Maybe Amstel Light. Yeah.
Yeah.
The example of that really pissed me off recently is I saw a carton of 10 eggs at the grocery store. Not a dozen eggs. It was 10 eggs.
How are you gonna make 12 egg white omelets?
I was so mad when I saw that. I was like, I'm not gonna buy this just on principle.
Yeah,
and then I bought the really cheap eggs anyways. So.
And then I bought 2 6-packs of eggs.
So you guys drank and ate for free in the box?
Well, I didn't drink anything. The night before Craft Beer Andy did make an appearance. And,
ooh.
The Flying Dog Raging Bitch, I just can't drink it because I was feeling ill the next day.
Yeah, it's a kick in the ass.
Oh, so you went to a box and you didn't have beers?
I didn't have any beer. Weigel was there, and he only had one. Because now we've finally gotten back to the Weigel part of the story.
Yeah, but we expect that from lame, terrible Weigel.
He had a lot of important lawyering to do. Also, everybody drove. Like, I drove to Tom. Tom drove to Marlow Furniture Depressing Outlet Mall.
Marlow Furniture.
Where Weigel dropped his car off. So Weigel had to drive back to, you know, crappy Chesapeake Beach. And
yeah.
Tom had
Weigel really is the worst.
Weigel stinks.
Tom had to drive back to
him. Did you have any fun with Weigel?
Yeah, I enjoyed my time with Weigel.
Did he talk about lawyering?
There was an instance where he did need to know something about bird law.
And igloo law as well?
Well, he just knows that intrinsically from being reared by...
Did a land dispute in the Arctic come up and he was able to solve the problem?
I mean, he just subscribes to Antarctic Monthly or whatever comes out. Whenever the currents and the ice caps melt long enough, the ice flows allow it to the news to escape.
Yes.
Because of global warming, his law specialty is really going out of style.
Well, no, man, it's going to open up all new territory. It's going to make it nice and pleasant for development.
Well, there's going to be a lot more penguin law stuff also, as far as land disputes, once their current ice flow is melted.
I guess if it starts getting, turned into condominiums and whatnot.
So the Redskins were defeated in just crushing fashion. I assume you were jubilant.
It was humiliating for them. I mean, it's not to get too worked up. The Giants improved to 5-7. It's not like we were having a good laugh about when they put on the still in the hunt category up, talking about the NFL playoffs. And the Redskins were still in the hunt at the beginning of the game, and then at the end of the game, they didn't make the still in the hunt list.
You can't be too jubilant, though, after the lessons of Newsman Ogle.
Oh, yeah. You can't talk too much trash in the stadium because you never know when...
It's fine when you're around civilized people in the box, as you leave that door...
I was just trying to cheer on a team, cheer on the fans of a defeated team.
Yeah, and
all backfired.
Some slurs.
Oh, well, I may have said something that I regret, but, you know...
Well, we have no way of remembering any of that.
No, and
there's no way to verify.
And in fact, it's all conjecture. The whole story is conjecture because neither one of us remember any one iota of that that whole interaction. So,
and then you were like,
got a lot of mighty mighty Boston's there.
25.
Oops.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
Yeah, it's like that.
Exactly like that. So it sounds like a glorious and luxurious time.
Yeah, I got to talk to Tom. There was a couple babes there by themselves, and one of them had a Giants jersey on.
Oh.
Was her vagina hanging out?
No, and I was like, yo, where can I get some of that nice New York Giants sliz? I'm going to take home some of that. I'm going to pound out some of that gash.
Hey, girl, I need a New York salami sandwich.
Hey. I'd like to park my train in your tunnel.
I'd like to park my sausage train in your salami hole. Hey, babe, how does one go about acquiring some of that primo sliz?
Well, it went so well out here, Spay, procuring some premium West Coast sliz.
That hot West Coast punani. Yeah, that didn't work.
Well,
out
we did.
So,
well,
I didn't.
Out here, we did see an ass, and we saw some underwear. So.
Yeah, we talked a lot about
great success.
All of the butt cheeks hanging out of the jort thong.
Yeah,
that was a big topic of discussion earlier in the show.
So. Awesome.
Spade, well, we've already hit the hour. You want to get to our first Newsman Ogle segment we've had in a long time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Lots of time to prepare for this.
Okay, good.
All right, well...
I don't have the song. I assume you have the song.
I don't have the song, but Newsman should have
all right.
plenty of news stories piled up and ready to go. So we'll just say it's news time, and Matthew Ogle reads the news. It's news time. Ogle reads the news for you. It's news time. Matthew Ogle squeeze a boob. It's news time. Ogle read the news for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me. I'm just pulling out my news stories here.
Oh, I. Saw.
He's pulling out his show prep sheet that he prepared today.
It looks like I ran into Denise the Panisse at LA Park Grill.
Oh, how'd that go?
She didn't remember me.
She didn't?
I was like, Denise the Panisse, you don't even remember? She said I had nice hair, you bitch. I was like, you remember getting into an 80s trivia contest and then knowing more about NASCAR and 80s rock music than both of my friends? She said no, and then she brought up karaoke, and I'm like, yeah, well, me and the Asian guy would sing Adam Sandler's at a medium pace.
Yeah, like every time, and then everyone would sigh.
She's like, nope. But she did bring up how the guy that runs karaoke, emphasizes that it's, like, adult karaoke.
Yeah. Oh, Luis. That's thanks to us, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely thanks to us. And every now and then someone will have, like, some curse words in it, but nothing as graphic as that. And I forget how she phrased it, but it was something where he's like, yeah, you know, people are here to have a good time. It's an adult bar. You're going to be an adult. And if you don't like it, too bad. Everyone's enjoying themselves. It's the way she put it. It's like... Man, did that guy really get that pumped up when we sang that disgusting song?
It sounds like you had quite a conversation. Did you park the beef bus in Toonertown?
No, that is one fine piece of ace that escaped my grasp. She's as big as ever, and
possibly bigger.
Has she tasered anybody in a bar recently?
No, I did. That story was never far from my mind. So I know that when you tango with Denise the Panisse, that you cross her too many times and she'll tase the shit out of you, even if it means she goes to jail. She doesn't give a shit. She overshared some other important stuff that I don't remember. I was with Justin B. Borough. We had a fun boys night out. And then we went to, first we went to... Well, Billy Jeff's.
Nice.
Because they have this bartender that's smoking hot there. So I like to pretend that she's my girlfriend.
Yeah, some sliz.
It's a fun time. I just sit there and I'm like, oh, she's so nice to me every time I'm there. And I order $50 worth of draft beer.
And then you tip her a mountain because you think she's nice to you.
And then I'm just like, can I just give you money until we hang out more? Is this how it works? You can just smile and then pretend that you're serving the other customers as much as you're serving me, but really you're just getting them out of the way so you can come back and take my order again. Just why
I don't see any other outcome from this.
Just why I'm drinking so fast that you have to keep coming over.
So news story real quick.
Yes.
The Yankees just signed Jacoby Ellsbury.
Oh, Taco Bellsbury?
Yeah, for $150 million.
I wish I had $150 million.
I wish I had $150.
Well, you got 103.
Yeah,
now that you sold that Bitcoin.
Yeah, I wish I had 150 million Bitcoins. Oh!
Spade, the Mets have had a very active offseason.
Sandy Alders
making a lot of moves.
They're in the market, but it has to be the right deal. So he's just being prudent. They don't have a hard cap, per se.
I hope they can pick up a Scott Hairston caliber talent.
They non-tendered Justin Turner, who's one of the few redheads out there. He's apparently that was on the Twitter sphere.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, well, nobody does. Nobody would. The hottest redhead to come to the New York metropolitan area since Justin Scalabrine.
Brian Scalabrine. You mean USC's own Brian Scalabrine.
What's that?
USC's own Brian Scalabrine.
Oh, he was a USC guy?
Yes.
Because he liked his uniform to match his hair.
Of course. Sorry, Ogle. News.
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, that was another exciting Newsman Ogle segment.
Yeah.
Ogle did get to enjoy Black Friday firsthand working.
Yeah, from the backside of the counter.
Oh, yeah. What's it like behind the curtain with the rest of the retail?
It's crazy. So crazy.
What were you, did you make a lot of suggestions to all the trophy moms and get some of that MILF sliz?
Yeah, I was like, this one will prevent you from having camel toe.
Were you like, yeah, this one, let me see if that prevents camel toe effectively enough. And then, like, get underneath and, like, squint right at her vagina area.
I don't know.
Well, as much as we were talking about at USC, I think Ogle's really at the epicenter of MILF Town, USA.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Surrounded by tush.
Yeah. Just a store selling fancy, expensive yoga pants in a rich suburb of San Diego, of a Southern Californian city. Definitely.
Does anyone come in, like, all fat as shit and just try to squeeze into some tight clothes and make you want to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really? But, you know...
Do you have to lie and be like, oh, you wear that so well, or, no, oh, I've really been doing your yoga workouts?
Oh, you say things like, it's a great size on you.
Is there, like, a company handbook to, like, get around?
No.
Not...
Nope.
No? You just got to pick it up as you go?
Yeah. Yeah. They're all about personal responsibility and being authentic.
Is there, like, seasoned vets that are giving you a hint, like, I've been here since '06. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what you want to do to get that extra sale and throw in a nice reed mat.
Yeah, the ones that have been there for a long time, they just spit their dip spit right on the ground.
I remember in the big curves rush at '06. The stuff flying off the shelves. Didn't they have a thing where they had to recall a whole bunch of pants because you could see right through them?
Yes, they sure did, yeah.
So if I didn't get to be quality control with that job, it's something I wouldn't mind having, right? Right, guys? Let me test the tensile strength of that sports bra. All right. Good. Great job for perverts. I'm assuming.
Who's Ben Heck?
I'm trying to remember the name of the...
Ben Dependent?
Yeah.
Fappy the Seals creator?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it in a while, so yeah. I was going to look up if there's any new Fappies.
He just typed in benheck.com.
Yeah, I don't think it's Ben
Heck. Something actually came up. That's the weird thing.
Obviously, Ben Heck is the number one video game modder.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Great. It's good to know.
Ooh, Fappy Theft Auto.
I still use Fappy as my avatar on the AV Club, and the AV Club gets worse and worse.
You comment on AV Club?
I like to call out some of their reviewers for being stupid pieces of shit.
But you're already well known on the Uproxx community. I mean, enough to be called out.
You mean as that's my other online handle, Yaroslav.
Yeah, Yaroslav.
Yeah. Well, that one is good because you can't really Google it because that person is otherwise famous in literary circles.
Right. Yeah, it's very smart.
But Ken Dynamo is easy to recognize. Or it comes up on Google as only stuff that I've done. So if, like, Ken Dynamo was ever widely known to be me, then you could easily look up some of the terrible, terrible things that I've
done. Well, now you just...
Outing myself?
You just admitted to it on a widely listened to podcast.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a secret. Some dude who writes... he's written for Deadspin. He used to be on that Mets blog that I commented on a lot. I followed him on Twitter, and he actually wrote, "Hey, where's Ken Dynamo been?" And I tweeted back, and I was like, "Hey, bro, thanks for the shout out. I'm right here on Bal's podcast."
I like the variety of stuff you've commented on. I just Googled it.
I'm on the Economist.
Yeah, Economist.
I get a lot of plus ones on The Economist. More
www.metsarebetterthansex.com.
What are you? What Meadow Party are you? Is that Keith Law?
That was Keith Law's blog, yeah. But I stopped reading that after he dumped all over The Watchmen by Alan Moore.
Oh, Dan Shanoff.
Used to comment on that a bit, yeah.
I haven't even thought of Dan Shanoff in
years. Yeah,
years.
Well, ever since he literally became a fanboy for Tim Tebow, he's become like a parody of himself. He can't even make fun of him.
Why I hate dc.blogspot.com. Yeah. I mean, it's just all kinds of eclectic. It's eclectic.
Well, you learn a lot more about me by looking up Ken Dynamo than you do by going on my Facebook page. Oh, did you like my latest bit, by the way? Let's see how it's done.
I know Blair likes your latest bit.
Let's see. Only one... Oh, yes. Blair commented. Yep. Well, Blair got the joke. I mean, that was the idea.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought the comments I came up with that were supposed to be the stupid, asinine, useless comments. Well, let's see.
How long are you going to keep it going?
Oh, just that. See? Right after I post, hey, you can delete this dumb shit that no one cares about. And then I put some Tabasco on my French fries, but now they're too spicy, so I didn't finish them. And then I did, instead of smiley face, I did tongue sticking out face. Because that shows that, like, whatever, goofy me.
It's a great bit, Faye. It's one of your best bits.
Speaking of Facebook, this status update just came across the wire. Jason Smee says, celebrating birthday with my wife. And he checked in at Hooters.
That's so S-word.
That's pretty good by Smee. I like that move.
Yeah, I know. I like that.
Let's check in at Hooters all the time. Oh, maybe that's what I'll do. I'll steal his bit. Just check in at a different Hooters in a different part of the country every day. Maybe a couple Hooters a day. Do strip clubs have Facebook pages?
I would think so. Yeah. I bet you can check into CCR right now.
That'll be a good way to signal to all the babes that I'm into the sliz. Hey, babes. I appreciate the female form.
I like chicks, and sometimes I go to bars just to look at chicks while I'm drinking.
I will stare at you naked for as long as you'll let me.
All right, Spade, let's wrap this up. We'll have another episode in, 3 days.
That's true. It is Tuesday. We had to delay yesterday because, what, you had to do it late?
No, I was drinking at a bar.
Oh, well, look.
Well, because I'm still working on my 80 beers in 80 days program. I got that hoodie on the line, so I got to keep pouring $50 into it every time I go to the bar.
Did you go to Mr. Peabody's, is it?
No, I didn't go to the West Coast LA Bar and Grill. I went to the Encinitas Ale House, which you went to as well. The beer bar.
The Encinitas Ale House?
Yeah.
Was that the one by, like, the train station?
No, not the one that you went to first. The one we walked the length of downtown Encinitas to go to.
Oh, yeah, that one. Just the three of us, and they called last call, yeah. Like, right after that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your local neighborhood bar.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You'll be going back there anytime soon?
Yeah, I need to. I need 23 more beers by December 24th.
Oh, wow. I don't know how you'll be able to do that.
I don't know. It's challenging, Spay.
Why don't you just drink 24 beers in one night, you goddamn pussy?
Yeah, maybe I will, Spay.
All right,
get the song queued up.
Oh, right, I need to do that. Ogle, how was your CrossFit?
It was pretty rough. But I did I think I beat everybody else in my class in the workout today. It was pretty exciting. And then I went to a Pilates class later in the day, and the Pilates class totally kicked my ass. Well, it was outrageous.
You know what they say, you can beat your friends on the class, but you can't beat them off.
Why do they say that?
What? That's just what everyone says.
Yeah, but why do they say that? It's,
well, you could beat them off, you know, but then you'd have to be, you know, jerking off dudes. That's the other meaning of the word. All right, well, it's been a good time for pals. It's been a good time with pals. It's been a little bit overdue catching up all the way back to L.A. and points since.
Yeah, we're finally caught up. Now we can move forward as we enter episode 99 next week.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Pretty exciting.
99 basically just has to be one big tease, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's all we'll be doing for an hour.
All right, so let's brainstorm. Maybe while you're at work, I'll try to take a little bit of my free time away at work from reading up on college wrestling.
And literally paying for pay-per-views of college wrestling?
I paid $20 to watch the Northeast Duels. It was exciting.
Sounds exciting.
I'll be watching Iowa Hawkeyes take on the Edinburgh Scotsman Thursday night at home by myself. Should be fun.
I don't even know what that means.
I'll just stream it through the internet onto my computer and watch it that way. So congratulations to me. But yeah, let's come up with some big, big ideas for some big, big plopping.
Yeah, it'll basically be a big brainstorm for the big episode 100.
It's going to take all of our brain power. I might have to drink a little bit less so as not to be so...
That's outrageous. Rattled. Get that out of your mind right now.
Or we could just do it blacked out and see what happens.
I support that.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that.
Literally blacked out, and who knows what can happen then. I'll probably end up smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. Ogle will say he has to go to the bathroom and then not come back.
I remember those days.
Just buy me a 5-hour energy, and I'll be good to go.
All right, Spade. Play the song.
All right, so long, pals. See you on Twitter and at the next Plopcast where we can tease the big 100 plopping.
Yeah.
So long.
Bye, pals.
The podcast is over.